Well, who has a question tonight? Jean?
In the New Testament, Christ heals 10 lepers, one of whom returns to Christ to thank him, and 9 did not. And I would like to know the inner meaning of the significance of the one who did, the 9 who did not, and the fact that the one who did return to Christ was not one of Christ's ten.
He was what?
A Samaritan, the one that returned to Christ.
Well, transferring our consciousness again to the inner kingdom. As man goes through this experience of the cross, he finds within himself many tendencies which have become real to him. They have become forms within his kingdom. They have taken over power. And within man he finds that there are many who are unclean. They are lepers in that sense. You will find that the 10 lepers can be compared to, again, the 10 qualities of the subtle mind, which must be crucified or cleansed so that the final purification can take place. Now, the 9 who did not thank Jesus for this, of course, are those compared to those who, even though they have sinned very greatly, still have not repented of their sins. They have been healed, and yet they find no gratitude, no thankfulness in their heart. And this is still related within, you understand. Because as man goes ever higher in his evolution toward God, the time comes when he must face himself. He can no more run away. He has to stand firm. And even though what he looks upon within himself, the things that he has thought, said, and done, are terrible to behold, still he must face that. But there is one who looks. And he looks with horror, and he repents. And because he has been cleansed, he is grateful to the Lord, and he thanks him. Even a remnant thereof, as it says in the Bible. You must realize that when you go through this experience of crucifixion, that this harlot, this Babylon, as it says in the Bible, is drunk with the blood of saints. So those saintly tendencies within yourself who have striven to take you to God have also been killed or crucified with the Christ. They are dead with Christ. And we must endure to the end the remnant that is left in the consciousness of God and of good, in order that we may reap our just reward. And the temptations which come in these last planes of consciousness are beyond human conception, because the soul can be in an absolute state of bliss, filled with light, so that the light shows even outwardly as well as inwardly. And when that light is brought to the attention of the opposing force, immediately they take over and even take on the guise of God to tempt you away from that which you know you must do, to hold out to you the temptation even that you will become a pillar in the temple of God, and yet you will be completely liberated, completely sufficient unto yourself, and with your own name, that you can retain this human body, that you may do without food, that you may come and go as you please. All of these he tempts you with. And he makes you know, whether it be inwardly or through the voice of one outside, that you have gone through the experience of the crucifixion, and that in truth, that which you formerly called yourself is dead. And even though you have gone through these experiences with your eyes wide open, and obviously in a human form, the change has been taking place, and that you are having the same experience while in that human body that you would have if you had left the body, remained out of it, and had to go through the world of the physical, the world of the astral, the world of the causal, before you could ascend into the heaven of your own being and sit at the right hand of God with Christ and be a pillar in his temple. I know this is true because I have had this temptation, and I have had it no later than today. And it's a terrible thing to have somebody tell you this, and all of a sudden you think, is there no surcease from all of this torture that you have gone through? No surcease, no relief from this punishment. And yet you are told that the light around you is so great that it is blinding, and that you are the chosen of God, that you will appear at will, come and go, and that you shall not go in and out, but that you shall go out no more. And yet at the same time, here you are, still in a physical body. You think of the story of the wandering Jew, who had a great love for life, and death was denied him, and he wandered the face of the earth, all of the familiar faces that he had known had come and gone. New faces came, but there were none that he knew. And he kept wandering and wandering and wandering, praying for death, but death was denied him. Until one day, as I remember the story, one came and loved him sufficiently, and he was able to die. To face the certain knowledge of that which has come out of your mouth as your own experience, and yet to have known it, and yet not to have realized it until the moment came, is an experience, I can assure you. And the chills ran up and down my spine, and my brain was like ice. And I felt an awful emptiness within myself. And I said to this individual, how can this be? How can this be? I am nothing. Oh, you should take credit. God has given you the name Mildred. And if you have overcome, you deserve that. All of these things will happen. And I said, God's will be done. God's will be done. Because whatever my Father wants for me, this is my will. This temptation, you see, comes even in the highest experience. Because when the soul is going through this experience and the light shines on it, then the satanic force sees that light and tries to come in and take the guise of God and tempt that individual soul, and even to take over that soul so that the soul will lose its just reward. But if the consciousness is firmly fixed in the Lord, when the surrender is complete, so that you know within yourself without any possible doubt that even if what was said was to be true and humanly you could not accept it, still if it was God's will, you are willing. And then the thought comes all of a sudden, this is temptation. This is temptation. And you go into the silence of your own soul, where there is stillness and darkness, and there the soul hides, and the satanic force cannot get at it. This temptation lingers for a little while if it can get to you, and the soul which was filled with bliss is filled with horror. But if you recognize immediately what has happened, and that this was not the voice of God, but the voice of temptation, you put your full attention upon God, and immediately that is gone, and you are protected. And because you have met that temptation and overcome it, you feel the increased power and strength of God standing firm within you and all around you. Because if God be with you, who can be against you? And this power came, if you will but so recognize it and acknowledge it, to help you, even though perhaps it didn't mean to, so that you might grow ever closer to God. And so you thank God for the experience, and you bless Him in all forms, in all beings, in all of the experiences which come into your life. It is a strange thing that He does not tell us in advance, and perhaps it is the greatest blessing, what we are to experience. And we must cope with these lepers within ourselves, these creatures which we ourselves have developed, which have become unclean spirits, so to speak. We must cope with them, we must face them, and we must best them, and yet not we, but God within us, He who has us by the hand, leading us through this dark night of the soul into the light of our own being, into paradise and in heaven. Because if we will endure to the end, we will have within us the power of overcoming, and we will surely not lose our reward, and we will reap this reward of bliss and of glory. One must be strong indeed. You see, there are many weak ones. There are many who say, I want God. And they have great opinions of themselves, nevertheless. Even when they are serving, and people say to them, you serve so selflessly. Is it truly selfless? Is there not some idea of, am I not doing a good thing? Am I not doing a good thing? Look at all of the help I am giving to these people. The ego is still there. It is gaining its reward. It does not go without reward. And when you face yourself and you find that this is true, you know that this too must be gotten rid of, because there is still the sense of the human eye there, the sense of personal doership, and the full recognition of the fact that God is the sole doer, that there is but one power in the universe operating in two ways, and that in all things He is doing everything in accordance with His plan and His purpose, and for our highest good. I had a man say to me, I don't remember whether it was yesterday or the day before, I have been thinking a lot, and I don't believe that all of this suffering which it is said we must go through in order to attain God is necessary. that if we but have faith, we can go through this without pain and accomplish the same result. But is this true? You see, everybody is looking for an easy way out. Yet Jesus the Christ said that God realization was the pearl of great price. That means that you have to pay something for it. You don't get it for nothing. And in the place in the Bible, I don't remember the exact quotation again, but it said something about even to those who take his name, even as though that is an appendage. In other words, they can go if they hang on to his name. God will receive them. But they have not paid the full price, because he also said that he who will not go up by way of the sheepfold, enter by way of the sheepfold, that one is a thief and a robber. The one who has the courage to go through pain, to pay the full price, this one has earned the right to be in God's kingdom, to experience it, to go into the light, and to become the light of the world. Only such a one has earned the full privilege. Jesus himself said all others were thieves and robbers. Now you can take your choice. Each man has that choice. You can take the easy way out. And I have read in certain places, certain magazines, certain books, where it is said that in this age of Kali Yuga, that taking the name is the easy way to go to God, but it is not the way of the Christ in that sense. Because he said, he who will not pick up his cross and follow me. To follow him means to emulate him in every detail. That one cannot be my disciple. So he is not a follower of Christ. Now it is true that God's name is sweet, and to keep his name upon our lips is to attain a state of bliss. We must do this, but we must not do it with the idea of avoiding whatever experience he has in store for us. Because this is not complete surrender. This is saying to God, God, I want you, but I'm going to take this way because this is the easiest. It isn't like the one who says, God, thy will be done. And this is what Jesus said. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. If it be thy will, take this cup from my lips. But it was for but this hour that I came. Because Jesus, the Savior of man, knows that in truth he is the eagle. He was born the Son of Man, and he must be crucified in order that the divine within him might manifest. And you cannot avoid this challenge. He who shall save his life shall lose it. He who shall save the eagle, because he does not have the courage to do what is necessary to overcome it, to have it crucified, to make it die, he shall lose his life, because he is still under the penance of human birth and death. But he who shall lose his life for my sake shall have life everlasting. The temptation was also given to me. This time you have come to do all of this. You are a great shining soul, perfect in God, and you shall take your body with you so that you can use it at any time. What do I care about that? What do I care? If it be God's will, he will so arrange it. He will use it. If it is not God's will, he will not. But I concern myself for the moment with it. And I thought of what it would entail. And then I gave it all to God. We must do this, because we are like little children when we are going this way of the cross. We don't know what the Father has in store for us. We go through this experience, be what it may. We are taken down into the depths of hell within our own being, and we are lifted up into the heaven of our own being. We experience great agony and corresponding ecstasy. And we don't know where we're going, but we do know, like it says in the 23rd Psalm, that the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth us beside the still waters, the still water of the Shushumna Passage. And He is with us every inch of the way. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Don't you see what deep meaning this prayer, this psalm has? When you apply it to what's happening to you as you go through this dark night of the soul. And yet, He anointeth our heads with oil, and the cup runneth over. The head is the inverted bowl, and when we attain Christ consciousness, the oil of Spirit runs over and fills our being. And we shall live in the house of the Lord forever. It's a tremendous challenge and a terrific experience. And we can do nothing but to hold on to the hand of God with complete faith and utter surrender, just like a child hangs on to its mother's hand. In full confidence that she, the mother, will take care of it, protect it from danger, see that all is well with it. This force that comes both within and without at times, and it shakes us to our very roots. But let us realize what it is doing for us, not to us. It is causing changes within us. It is making us hard and tough and strong if we will but realize it. The suffering which we endure affects our emotions. And sometimes we are forced to give into it because the impact is so great. But always, if we are sincere and if we have the desire to go into the very end, we pick ourselves up with God's help. You know, when you've reached bottom, there's no place else that you can go except to give up or go up. The decision is yours. But if you give up, this is suicide. But if you don't give up, if you go up, then in truth, you are doing what you were meant to do. Because man was put here but for one purpose, and that is to find his oneness with God, to do away with the sin of separation. Jesus came to save us from sin. Jesus, the Son of Man, came to save us from sin. And sin means separation. So He dies, the human ego, in order that we may have our oneness with God. He saves us from this separation. We have our oneness with God. And there are no longer two, but just the one in full consciousness, in full glory, in full bliss of the Lord. Then, and then only, God can use such a one to bring all others to Himself. When there are many who are going to follow with you when you go through that experience, you pay a greater price, but also you reap a greater reward. You must pay the greater price because the experience must be so vivid, so deep, so all-encompassing that there can be no doubt of the truth which you teach them. Because you are taking the responsibility, God within you, of destroying all of these things which we speak of healing the unclean lepers, of healing the blind, of removing the veil of ignorance before the eyes of the soul, of telling those within you to put spittle on the eyes so that the light may come and that one may see. This again is symbolic, and yet human-like we translate it into terms that we can understand in the outer sense. We think of the blind man, and we see the form of Jesus the Christ as it has been given to us down through the ages. And we see him walking the countryside, not realizing that he is walking the streets of our own being. And we see him meet the blind man and the blind man asking him to heal him so that he may see. And we see Christ reaching out and taking this blindness from him so that the light of God may come in. And we realize that this happens within us, that layer by layer and veil by veil is removed. The blind are blind no more. He who was blind is now able to see in truth. Know the truth, and the truth shall make ye free. In no sense can you truly see. In no sense can you truly hear until these veils have been removed. The hold that is put upon the soul by the five senses, and in any way that they operate, even to the time when those five senses are quiet, this opposing force is in there, and no, this force can see nothing because the soul is deeply embraced and involved and held in its consciousness of God. This force can see the stillness of the senses and knows what's going on and tries to get in there and tempt you even to the last moment. This is how great is the temptation. When you go through these experiences, the Bible lives for you. It actually lives for you. And yet you cannot say that it isn't historical as well as symbolic of what goes on within. Because everything that happens inwardly is manifested outwardly. This individual said that they had been through the crucifixion, they had seen even the nail holes on the hands, that there was no other way. And I said, this is not true. No, no, no. And they said, oh yes it is, because whatever happens inside happens outside. But I said, I from my own experience went through the crucifixion, and in truth I was nailed to the cross, but not by nails in my hands, whether they be iron or wood, but by the two forces of good and evil within myself. These are the nails in my cross. These were the forces that nailed me, and I was helpless in them, and all I could do was to hang on to God. I know because I have lived it. And nobody, regardless of what they say, can take that experience away from me. And the difference between the vision that was given there was because it was a vision of the body and not of the spirit. Because the vision of the spirit is different because you can't see the form, you feel the form. That is why Master said to me, to see the light of God is good. To hear the voice of God is better still. But to feel God is to be one with Him, and is therefore the greatest of all. And so it is. This is the way you tell the difference between the truth of God which is given to you and that which is purely phenomena. These forms that you see in vision are not true. Those are products of yourself as a creator, the children of your own brainstorm. The things which, as you have gone through incarnation after incarnation, including this one, you have thought and brought into being. You meet them, of course, and sometimes you fear them, and sometimes they are so strong that you project them outside of yourself and they come to you and cause you a bad experience. But the true spiritual experience of God is not like that. You don't see that form, that vision, in that sense at all. It is a knowing inside, a knowing that is so positive, so definite, that were the whole world to be against you, telling you you were wrong still, because you have had such experiences before, you know it is right, and nothing can tempt you, nothing can sway you. And in that sense, you can see the forms of people. You can see the color of their hair, the color of their eyes, what they wear. You know what they are doing, and yet you have not actually seen this vision, don't you say? You have not actually seen it, but you have felt it. You have seen it with your inner eye, that which is one with God, and it is He Himself who has told you this. He Himself. Do you see the difference? You must be very careful. We have spoken before about dealing in phenomena. And master after master, who is a real master, knows that when you go through this forest of delusion, you will see many forms on both sides. Look at them. Say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this, but it is you I want. Never mind all of this phenomena, which keeps what? Engrossed. I was reading a wonderful book, and I said to someone yesterday, oh, this is a marvelous book. You must read it. And they took it and opened it. Oh, yes, but this is the same old thing. You see, they read the same thing over and over. It was an outpouring of a beautiful woman's soul. A beautiful woman's soul. One who was giving up everything to go to God. And this was old hat. Why? Because the mind was that which was working. The mind wanted to be satiated. It wanted to be interested. It wanted to be entertained with something new. The mind will do that forever, but will that take you to God? No, that will not take you to God. Only when you are one with God do you experience the ever new, ever conscious, ever existing bliss, and you see within yourself this play and all of its many facets. You taste of the nectar of God and you are forever full. Don't you see the difference? The other one is always wanting. It's thirsty. And no matter what it drinks, what appeals to it intellectually, this never satisfies the thirst. I had someone say that to me down in Pacific Palisades, too. If you're ever going to write something, for God's sakes, don't write any of this stuff that's been going on all the time. I'm sick to death of it. Books, 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 books. Write something new, like Zen and the Art of Archery. I think that's the name of it. This is a completely new approach. It is. The mind thinks, oh my, here's something brand new. Isn't this person clever? Who is clever? God is clever. God is all things. And it is not a new approach that we want. It is not that we want to have the mind satisfied, but the soul. Regardless of the approach, each one has to follow the law which is natural to his bringing to his or to her being. In fact, they cannot do anything else, and if they try to force themselves, or if someone else tries to force them, nothing is accomplished. There is rebellion, because nature goes the way that it must go. But no matter which way you go, which path you take, if you are absolutely sincere, devoted, if you love God with all of your mind, your soul, your heart, and your strength, then, and then alone, will you reach your goal, and regardless of the path, you will reach it. And this is the point where all paths converge. And when you reach that point, you will find, as Ramakrishna did, for instance, he studied Christianity, he studied Buddhism, he studied Hinduism, he studied Mohammedism, he studied all isms, and he practiced them. And at the end of each one, he found God. They are like the pie cut into many pieces. And each one takes a separate piece of pie, depending where he is and what the particular custom and teaching is in that locality. But in the end, all of the pieces of pie must be fit back together again. All of them. Because man must go back to his maker. He goes out and he savors this and that and the other thing. But eventually, he must come back and he must become whole. He must become fulfilled. He must become fulfilled. Only then does he lose his thirst, because he is not only bathing in the fountain of bliss, but he is drinking the water of eternal spirit, the manna from heaven. Nobody or nothing can take it away from him, because he has journeyed far. He has gone through many hardships and much suffering. He has paid the price to come and drink from this fountain of eternal youth, eternal life, because God is life. He is not death. God is life, and he is light. This is the sum and the substance of his being. And when we cleanse the leopards, and when we heal the blind within ourselves, there is nothing but light everywhere. The streets are paved with gold, the light of God. And yet, strangely enough, human beings, in the consciousness of their senses, because they have the lust for the gold which they earn, or which they take, which they dig out of the ground, immediately get the vision, oh my, how wonderful, heaven is paved with gold bricks. It isn't that way at all. But don't forget, as in the Lord's Prayer, it must be in earth, in the earthly part of your being, as it is in heaven. The earthly part of yourself must be purified and changed so that spirit, pure spirit, manifesting in the flesh, which is the earth, still shines forth. And there is nothing there but God, because in truth all is spirit, manifesting as spirit and nature. Even in the inanimate things, in the stone, there is growth and there is light. And the desire for life is so strong that sometimes a seed planted in the ground under a stone will find its way to the light. It will either go around it and up, even though it be crippled, or it has been known to somehow penetrate the stone and grow right through the middle of it. We've seen these things in outer manifestation. How wonderful is the working and the glory of God. He works in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. He tests us, He shakes us to our very roots. He grinds us that we might become sacred food for God's sacred feast, as Khalil Gibran says. Why does He do this, you see? He gets rid of the old in order that the new may be born. And this cannot come without pain, because even when the seed is planted in the ground, it must break its shell, which must be painful, before it can grow and become its own likeness, that of which it was meant to be. And so this must happen. But when you realize what is happening and why, you don't fight it. You don't grieve for yourself, feel sorry for yourself, and which self is it that is wounded but the ego which must go? But you rather watch and observe and rejoice in the wonderful working of God as He breaks away all of the encrustations of incarnations in order that the diamond of your soul may shine forth. Then it is, having changed your own attitude, that you bless this force for what it is doing for you. And you see that without it, you could not possibly have gained the power of overcoming within yourself. You could not possibly have come into the light. Not possibly. You would have remained where you were. Because if everything is well with you humanly, you may be sure that it is not well with you in the divine sense. And the human within us must suffer. And it is terrible sometimes, in order that this divine may be born. The Christ child must come into being. And by the time you are finished, you have given up all thought of struggle. You do not look for suffering. You do not ask for it. But you are willing to accept it, realizing that it comes from your Father, and that in all that He does, He is but bringing you to full consciousness of Himself, who is but yourself. I and my Father are one. He is taking all away that keeps you divided in order that you may know I am that. And not only I, but you and you and you and all others everywhere. So do not be afraid to go through the fire of testing. Know that God is with you in all things, that if God be with you, no man can be against you. And that you can overcome principalities and powers and evil in high spiritual places because God is there. And He is leading you. He is protecting you. And that you need have no fear. Make your faith strong, but make it more than faith. Make it a specific and definite knowledge that nothing can harm you when God is there. That you may be in the middle of the battle and 10,000 will fall by your side. Yet, as it says, not one hair of your head shall be destroyed. Isn't this wonderful to think of? Isn't it wonderful? And I have proven this. The tremendous experiences in a terrific way. On a universal basis rather than just individual, I have been made to go through. I have gone through the baptism of water, of fire, and the terrible baptism of blood. And yet here I sit before you. All I could do was to hang on for dear life. This body has suffered beyond human power to describe. And yet look what God has done for me. Just look, my Father and yours. Still, here I am able to speak to you, to tell you all of these things, because I know them firsthand. I've experienced them. I have seen them. No one knows the inner working of an individual's mind, his heart, and his soul, even though he looks upon what is happening, because he can see only the outer manifestation. He cannot see the inner struggle. He cannot see the terrific abyss of temptation as the soul goes down into the depths of itself. He cannot experience nor see the glory as the soul is lifted up into the heaven of its own being. Only that one knows, that one and God. So no one can say at any time, I have so far to go on the path. I am just the little one on the path. Who are you to say such a thing? Who are any of us? Because in a moment, God can transform us through His grace. His grace forever descends upon us. But we keep our eyes and our hearts and our ears and our minds closed to it. We prefer to sit in darkness. We prefer to stay out of the light. We of ourselves do this, and yet we say we want God. We say we are trying to go to God. But how much effort are we truly making? Each day, how much of our own burden do we try to pack? How many of our own decisions do we take to God and wrestle with Him and let Him help us work out? We're always telling our neighbor, this is my problem. This one said this to me. That one said something else. This one did this. This one is not behaving properly. Isn't this terrible, the situation in which I find myself? And so what shall I do? Going to a human source for help, for comfort for the ego. Nothing more nor less. Not with the idea of, shall I stand this myself? Shall I bear it? And Lord, you must guide and direct me, because only you, who are to be found within myself, can show me the way, the light, and the truth. Only you. If you learn to keep these things within you, to take them to God within you, to try to find your own way, your own light, your own direction, no matter how hard it is nor how long it takes, He must surely come to you. Now, if you can't get it now, do the best you can to listen to His voice. Maybe you will make mistakes, but even that is His will, because you have been so sincere. And you are to learn a lesson from that mistake, so that you can go farther, faster. So go to Him and do this. Leave the rest to Him. Do the best you can. Leave the rest to Him. And surely He will take you out of the darkness into the light. He has promised us all the way in the Bible. And if we are to believe that He is God, if we are to believe that in truth He has the attributes which we attribute to Him, then we must have faith that He will keep His promise. Otherwise, what is the use of anything? And we know that He does, because we have had experiences every day of our life. We are constantly looking for miracles, and yet this life itself, the privilege of being born in a human body, is the greatest miracle that ever was. The miracle of the sun shining constantly in the heavens, of the day and the night which come, one to give us light and one to give us rest, the stars that light our way, and the moon, which is the paler reflection of the sun, so that never are we in total darkness. The grass that grows in the trees, and the good things of the earth, which He has given to us for our sustenance, And still we look for miracles. Unless ye see miracles, ye shall not believe. Signs and miracles, you shall not believe. But blessed is the one that seeing not, yet that one believeth. This is the test which comes to all of us. You must have faith in God. And he is to be found within yourself. Go to him there. Meditate upon him. Be not afraid. Have the courage to go within and face yourself in all of the facets of your being. To do away with these things that are keeping you from going into the light. And God will give you the strength and the power of overcoming. And as you have this, then you will be strong in God. So that no matter what form the satanic force takes and uses, that nothing can deter you. Nothing can stop you. Because God is there and you know it. And you are held in his arms of everlasting life and of everlasting bliss. And you feel safe and secure and all wrapped up in his blanket of love. Try it. Start. Make the effort. Because if you are given grace, then you are also given the responsibility of grace. Don't sit with your hands folded. The grace is there. Do something about receiving it. Grace entails responsibility. You cannot just sit idle in the marketplace. While life moves all about you, you must live a life of service to God. Follow his direction within. Do what you are directed to do, but do it. I will reason, I will, I will act. But guide thou my reason, will, and activity to that which I must do. And it will all come to pass. There must be a going, a movement, if we are to get any place. Otherwise we become stagnant and we die from the neck up and from the neck down. Life is glorious. Life is wonderful. And when you've overcome these challenges, has the person who has put this challenge to you not done you the greatest service? How blessed is such a one. God has come into that form, done these things, said these things, in order that you might grow closer to him, in order that your human attachment leaves. And there is only the divine compassion, love, sympathy, because this human emotion, which comes and goes like the wind, just tears us apart. But when you overcome that, and it must be overcome only in this way, then regardless of what happens in the outer, and surely it will always happen, you meet each situation as it comes. You deal with it. But inwardly, you are static with God. You are completely unaffected. You have no real feeling against that person or for them because, you know, this is just some experience which they have to go through. It is a part of their test, their challenge, their development. So you deal with them like you would a recalcitrant child. But you are not affected. The mother chastises the child. Perhaps she spanks it. She shakes it. She stands it in the corner. She deprives it of its pleasure. She does all of these things for its own good. But still the love is there. Nothing changes that love, nor her care for that child. Because it is through this very discipline that she is teaching it to be a good citizen of this world and a good child of God, is it not so? And this is what the Divine Mother and the Heavenly Father do for us all the time if we would but realize it. And there is nothing but good in God everywhere. It is our attitude which makes the difference. Just our attitude. That's all. Let us think positive thoughts, good thoughts. Let us not give power to that which disturbs us, but take our mind from it and put that mind upon God. Nothing in the worldly sense is ours, nor ever can be in truth. Yet in God, all things are ours, because if we have made the effort to go to Him, we, like Christ, have dominion over all things. We are heirs with Christ. And the time comes when we do not say, we are heirs with Christ, but again, we know I am that. When we say the word I under those circumstances, there is not one, two, but one. Just one. Everywhere. Have the courage of your convictions, but have the courage to go within yourself when anything happens to disturb you, and go to God and remain quiet and still and unaffected, because this one out here that's causing all of this is the one who really should be pitied, who should shed the tears. Not us. Not us. We are safe in our knowledge of God, and only in that way can we help that one. If we think that someone else does something to injure us, then we do not help them if we feel sorry for ourselves, but only do we help them by being the example of what we must be and what we hope that they will become. Isn't that true? It's the only way, through example, through overcoming ourselves. Never mind what the other fellow does. This is between him and God. It is only important what we do, how our soul feels with what we have done in God. And if God says it's all right, all is right in our world, and all the rest will follow after. Know this, because it is the truth. Now let us pray to Him. Our Father which art in heaven,
our Father which art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
Thy will be done.
In earth as it is in heaven.
In earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses.
And forgive us our trespasses.
As we forgive those who trespassed against us.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation.
And lead us not into temptation.
But deliver us from all evil.
But deliver us from all evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
For thine is the kingdom.
And the power.
And the power.
And the glory.
And the glory.
Forever.
Forever.
Amen.
Amen.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
May thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
And bring them to thee.
And bring them to thee.
Oh.